T-Mobile.
Is that okay, Mobile? Hey, Dave.
4, is that okay? KB4CBA. How was your afternoon?
Just driving around, making a few pickups here and there. And dodging a few little raindrops, but not many. How about yourself?
I think I'm hitting more than I'm dodging. Not really much rain where I'm at. I'm on Lawrence Road. And just left my daughter's house and been keeping one of the grandsons so she could take the other one to the doctor. And it was just a wellness check. And anyway, so I'm headed to Henry's Barbecue. And I'm going to have me some barbecue for supper.
So good. But I had a question for you. See if you can corroborate this or not. I heard somebody giving some advice to some single people about who to marry and who not to marry, and they said one of them, somebody you shouldn't marry, is a tennis player. I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but do you know why that would be? Because I think you're a tennis player, aren't you?
Yeah. I have no idea. I'm just sitting here thinking, what in the world? Don't marry a tennis. Well, I mean, if they were like a pro, I mean, you know, that might not be the lifestyle you would want. Having to travel around and keep kids while they play tennis. But then you get to travel the world. And but if they're not a pro, I don't see what the problem is.
The answer was that because love means nothing to them.
That's about as dumb as 3 o'clock.
Well, anyway, I thought it was funny, but you don't have to. Yeah, my kids and I do jokes like that back and forth, and we kind of enjoy them, but I guess not everybody does.
Right over my head. Just totally missed that one. Maybe you ought to run that one by me again.
What do you say for 0-0 or 1-0?
Hey, okay, I get it. Yeah. Well, yeah, the love thing. Yeah, I always wondered who came up with that scoring thing with the love. Because sometimes I don't feel the love when I'm on the court, I can tell you that.
It's nothing, and they're winning. That doesn't feel very nice, does it?
In tennis, love is nothing, yeah. Okay, so I get the joke now. And so if you got love, then you got nothing. That's pretty good. Oh, man, I'll have to remember that. Well, that's the kind of joke you can tell your kids. It's like the dog with no legs joke. Do you know that one?
Did you say something about a dog?
The dog, what do you call a dog with no legs?
I don't know.
No matter what you call him, he's not going to come anyway.
There you go. I've heard a couple others about people like kind of like that, but probably wouldn't be the best to tell them on the air.
In a noisy place here. Let me jump out a second. I'm going to go run in Henry's and get my barbecue. I'll be back in a minute if you're still there. KB4CBA.
Well, I'm backing up to a dock, and I'll be gone for about 10 minutes probably, so I'll be back in a little bit. N4ZLK. 4RSN.
No, I didn't catch that call. This is Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha. My name here is David.
Hey, David, give me one second. I got to switch something around real quick.
4 CBA, this is KO4RSN. This is Andrew. I think we talked maybe yesterday.
Yeah, Andrew. I remember that. I'm kind of in a noisy spot. I'm sitting still. I'm in a, actually in a parking place here at Henry's Barbecue. I'm waiting on them to bring out my order. And so when I start moving, I should have a better signal.
Now you are coming in crystal clear.
Little static and QRM on my on the receive side here, so I was afraid I wouldn't make in the repeater good. You just never know. And in fact, it's really strange because there's a place right there at Patewood and Congaree Road. If when I'm turning left there to go to the sports club, as soon as I turn, I get this QRM, and it's awful. I mean, it's just blaringly loud, and it lasts for about 3 or 4 seconds before I drive out of it, and it's in the same spot, and it's there every day, and I don't know what's causing it. Yeah, I'm looking around for, you know, something, but I can't tell. I can't figure out what's where the interference is coming from. It's really strange.
Notice with this repeater, off the button. I've noticed with this repeater that it seems that it's easier to get into it than seems people get into it better even when their signal is weak coming out of it versus, you know, most other repeaters. I'm used to them being blaring into my radio and sometimes I can't quite get in. So that's one thing I've noticed that's a little different with this Caesar's Head repeater.
Mobile, it's you know, I can see her, and like when I'm getting ready to roll up to a stop, and I'm going real slow, and just like 1 or 2 miles an hour, I can watch the signal meter just go up and down, and sometimes it'll just drop completely out and then come back full quieting. It just depends on where you are, and if you stop in the wrong place, you can stop at a dead spot, and you can't even hear it or key it up.
You said you were at Henry's Barbecue. It's been a hot minute since I've had that. I used to work in Greenville. We used to eat there all the time, and I love that place.
Too, it's kind of our go-to place for barbecue. I mean, you know, everybody's got their, I say everybody, well, I guess everybody, you know, has their own opinion about who's got the best barbecue, and my former brother-in-law, him and his dad used to stay up all night and cook barbecues up in North Carolina. He would always bring us some, and he just swore up and down it was the best barbecue you'd ever eaten. And it was good, but it doesn't even come close to Henry's.
I've never been one of those that that can distinguish, I mean, unless you just got some god-awful stuff, between, you know, great barbecue and just good barbecue. It's got to either be bad or spectacular for me to notice the difference. There's a guy that lives somewhere up off of St. Mark Road that he does barbecue competitions, and we ate some of his stuff one time, and now that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, those guys make some good barbecue. I mean, you can't get much better than that. And I agree with you. Yeah, most of those guys just travel around and everything and cook from their own. They haul their own grill and all the everything they need, and you know they're serious. You better not. If you don't like it, you know you probably don't want to say anything about it.
They were good people. That was when I worked with the sheriff's office up there, and he did a meal for us one day at his house, and he brought out some of his. He's got some competition salt that he only normally pulls out, I guess, for competition stuff. He doesn't normally pass it around to, I guess, what we would have been common folk, but he did us a favor and threw some at us, and it was some of the better barbecue sauce I've ever had, too.
Yeah, there's several kinds of sauce, and some people like the vinegar base. Some people like me, I like the mustard base sauce. You know, it's just personal preference. And so you used to work for the county. When did you work for the county?
Late 2014 to this past June.
So is Shea Smith still working for the county then?
Was either, I think that was right before I got there, or soon enough after, where I was so green that I didn't know those people. Because I know the name, it's no one that I've ever met.
Yeah, he was high up in the rankings. I'm not sure. I think he's either a sergeant or he might have been a captain. I'm not sure. But I don't know. Something happened. I don't remember the details. He lost his job with the county. I used to know a good many of them back in the day. I used to work at the service center there on Keith Drive, and a lot of them liked to stay with their car and while you worked on it. And we would just sit there and talk, and as they sit, I would work and they would talk. And, you know, so they tell me stories, you know, about different things that maybe happened to them on the job or whatever. And so I got to know a good many of them, and I really, that was really neat. I say neat, it was, that was a group of friends I'd never had before that I was, you know, delighted to call them my friends. And of course, my father-in-law he worked for the city for 33 years. He was a captain, working in the detective division. He was over the he worked in the detective division for 24 years, and then he was over the division for 18 of those 24 years.
Yeah, service center. That was a love hate relationship right there. That was it was like dispatch. You had to always keep them on your good side because they could definitely hit you where it hurt. But I was the one that I would do as much as I could myself to keep from having to go in, because they'd call you out on all the stuff you needed to leave it for, so you'd end up without a car for a couple of days, and, man, I hated working out of spares. So, yeah, I'd always buy my own bulbs and wipers and fluids and stuff. I'd pretty much only come in for an oil change if I had to.
You had to pay for the maintenance of the vehicle?
No, I mean, if we brought it in, they'd replace whatever we wanted on the county, but bulbs, they always seem to go out on night shift. So I usually wind up, or I guess you just notice it on night shift, but I would buy those myself just to keep from having to go in, and then wipers and stuff, you know, Advance. I always go to the same Advance Auto, and they'd cut me a cheap deal on, you know, some of their nicer sets. I didn't have to do it often enough that it was worth just buying it myself. But no, the oil changes, I mean, we had to go there for that. There wasn't no way around that. I'd drop it off for that and just hope to God I didn't have some kind of recall or they find something else that they're going to end up having to keep it for 2-3 weeks.
I had a guy, when I first went there, he didn't know me, and he must have been in a hurry, and so he asked for an oil change, and he badly needed a transmission flush, and so I was doing a trans flush, which, you know, takes about an hour, and no, I'm sorry, 30 minutes, and so So he came back there and he says, why are you dropping the oil pan? I said, this is the transmission pan. I said, I'm servicing your transmission. I said, I'm trying to take care of you here, take care of your car. And so when I told him that, he was okay, but he came back there kind of, you know, huffing and puffing, and but once he realized I was just trying to take care of his car so it'd take care of him, he was okay. And I was trying to think of the guy's name. He just got promoted a couple months ago to lieutenant, I think. God, what is that guy's name? And I remember when he started, and he looked like just a kid. He didn't look like he was old enough to be in the sheriff's department. And his name, it eludes me. I just can't think of it.
Who was over the service center when you were there?
Yeah, the superintendent. That was the main guy that sat in the front office. His name was Marty Ramsbotham, I think was his name. And then my bosses that sat there in the little, off, you know, the glassed-in office area where the lifts were, that was Tom Martis and Gilbert Ivy. Those were the two guys that were my boss, my direct boss. If I had a question or needed help or whatever, I'd go to them.
Gilbert's running the whole thing now, isn't he?
Yes, if he's still there, I mean, he, I'm sure the parts guy's retired because I can't think of his name, but he was an older gentleman back then, so I can't imagine he's still there. But they, the first day I was there, they have kind of a cage thing, a wire cage over the window of the parts department, and he, Gilbert handcuffed me to the cage and just walked off.
I could see him doing that. That was, he had one of those tough personalities where, you know, he's being straight and normal with you, but his tone can sometimes be, what have I done to piss you off? And you hadn't, and he wasn't pissed off. It was just, you know, his kind of demeanor. But yeah, he had a tough personality to read.
For CPA. Yeah, his bark was worse than his bite, though. I walked up to him one day. He was leaning back on a little bar stool, and there was a bunch of guys, you know, standing around in a circle. They were all talking. I walked up behind him, and I kicked the bar stool out from under him. And he's a pretty big fella. There he was then. And I had to catch him. And I said, somebody help me here. Because I was getting ready to drop him on the floor. I mean, he was just too much for me to hold up. And it kind of caught me by surprise. So I didn't have a good grip on him. I didn't think it was going to go all the way out from under him. I just wanted to scare him. And that was right after I went to work there. It just a few weeks. It probably wasn't a smart thing to do. But I mean, he had something to say about it, but he didn't get mad or anything.
I watched a lot of those guys cut up. There's one guy that I forget his name. He may not have been there when you were there. I think his first name was John, and he had a rather strange last name. I know he recently came over to the sheriff's office as a deputy. He was one of the mechanics. His name eludes me. He's a bald guy, real short. Had almost a face like a mob boss from a movie.
He had a face for radio, huh? Yeah, I don't remember John. I'm sure the people that I worked with are probably either gone or retired. I know some of them have left, for sure. And the two kind of sad. The two ladies that worked up front, they're both dead, and and I think the tire guy just retired. He used to do all the big tires. We could do our, yeah, we could do the ones for the ambulances and the police cars. And yeah, if we found a nail in a police car tire, we had to replace it. We couldn't plug it. And I would always, look for them, because I'd usually find at least a nail in at least one tire. And but this guy, I was trying to remember his name. He came in one day and he had a 90 Chevrolet Caprice, I think is what they had, or Impala. It was a big Chevrolet, and it was black and silver back then. And he said it was cutting out at 125 miles an hour. Let this drop. I had to go out and duplicate the problem. That's the first thing you do as a mechanic. So I took it out on 85, and sure enough, you get up about 125, and it started cutting out. And couldn't find out his cats were stopped up, and we had to replace the catalytic converters. But I did a full tune-up on it, too, because it needed it. And boy, when I gave it back to him, he came back in the next day, and I said, "Is something wrong?" And he just had a big grin on his face, and he said, "No." He said, "This thing runs like crazy." And I said, "Oh, I'm glad, because I said, I don't want that thing, cutting out on you if you're chasing somebody down."
The thing we didn't have to worry about in Greenville was chasing people. But were you there when they started getting the Chargers under Lewis?
Yeah, the Chevrolets and the Crown Vicks, and they went to all Crown Vicks and that, that dark blue. And when I lived in 95, I worked there almost 5 years to the day. And so I lived in 95, so a lot has changed since then. Sadly, a lot has changed in law enforcement since then. But, I won't even get into that. But, I tell you, I appreciate your service there with Greenville County Sheriff's Office, and hats off to you. I've got a Back the Blue sticker, and I'm the coordinator for the upstate highway patrol. Adopt-a-Cop cop covers several counties up here, 178 officers, and I also have a sticker on my car for that, on the back glass. But anyway, I'm sitting in the garage here, so I'm going to say adios, and I'm going to dive into some of this barbecue. But I'll stick around for your final. Enjoyed it. Thanks for the ride home, KB4CBA.
Good talking to you, and I think same as yesterday. It's good timing, because I got to kick out of here and go pick the little ones up from school, so I'll be out as well. Till next time, have a good one. KO4RSN, I'm clear.